all the things that were just shared here this morning, you guys have shared the message of that relationship we have. But Satan is always trying to throw us off our game. His goal is just to trip us up. He doesn't really necessarily care if he totally wipes us out, but if we just get us off the focus, if we can just get us focused on ourselves and no one else, those kind of things he strives hard for. And, you know, as we go through those healing processes in our life, what we find that drags us mostly out of depression whatsoever is serving other people. We get locked, and I think we've all been there. I struggle with depression. Hard to believe for a guy that smiles a lot, huh? Yeah, so smiling a lot sometimes how I cover up my depression. So we wear masks at times, and God doesn't want us to wear those masks because they're exhausting as well. So with that, I appreciate what he has done. One of the things we don't always know is what actually is going on in the kingdom of God. I was listening to Brian's message there, and it reminded me, and I can't remember the missionary's name, but he went to India to some of the areas that have a lot of jungle and that type of thing. And he got into a village, and he prepped the village, and pretty soon he had one of the gentlemen there. It was quite a struggle. They weren't really accepting it at first. And after about a year of being there, the church denomination had him come out back out of that mission field. And he moved back to New York, feeling rather depressed because he wasn't able to fulfill what he thought was his mission to bring his tribe to Christ and see it grow and so forth. Unbeknownst to him, for the last 3 or 4 years, that seed kept growing. The whole village came to Christ. Pretty soon, the gentleman he shared with, son, became very involved in this ministry and then was going to do a translation of the scripture to their language. So this young man flies to New York, and he knew the original missionary was from that area, so he sought him out. And that missionary was in depression because he wasn't able to fulfill God's mission. And he'd been stewing it off for the last several years. So then when the young man found him, he was sharing with what God was doing. And it brought such joy to his heart, such revelation to his heart, that it's just not us. It is the Holy Spirit going with us to guide us. And he moved this whole village, and it became quite a force for Christ in that area. And so it's just neat to see what God does. And sometimes we don't see the whole picture. But know that he is God. All right, so let me start this off here. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, for although we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh, since the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are powerful through God for the demolition of the strongholds. So there's a spiritual world out there, and the goal of it is just to throw us off our game. If they can kill us, that's a win for them. Or if they can just maim us or get us distracted, that's all there. We demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Wow. And then this is kind of a full-time job for us. I don't know about your mind, but my mind is always, always on the move. And I have to wrangle it in every once in a while. But God knows that about us. So he doesn't look at us as, you know, your disobedient children, and I need to spank you, go after you all the time. That is not who God is. That's who we think in our minds sometimes, because of the way we were raised. I mean, that was the normal household that I was in. You did something, boy, you can expect that belt's coming after you. So, and my dad didn't know Christ, right? And so he struggled with that relational thing anyway. And from what was brought up here earlier, you know, Freddie was talking about that person he was sharing with. Well, that person probably had some pain that occurred in her church relationship. And my dad did also when he was younger. So these things can be long stretched and have a long history behind it. And sometimes when I'm not in my right mind, and I don't capture my right mind. I make judgments to other people when they go through struggles, not knowing who they really are or who their struggle is or how their struggle is. So the honor of God is a very powerful tool that God offers up to us. And sometimes I don't know, you know, if we truly understand that. For those that have gone through military or law enforcement, all that, you have a pretty clear understanding of what armor does and how it protects you and all that type of thing. But I think for most of us, it doesn't really tie in necessarily on how we should do things. And for some of you that have been through tough struggles, it probably does. So with that, let's kind of go through some of these elements of Scripture. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by the vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. So the armor of God, which is part of the Word of God, right, has the power to resist the devil. And God has given us that gift as well. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the cosmic powers of darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. So this big war, God's part of that with us in our lives. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist the devil and the evil in the day, and having prepared everything to take your stand. So these are the elements, right? Armor of God, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the gospel, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. Sometimes we don't necessarily always feel worthy to put these things on, but is that something that should keep us from putting on the armor of God? When we repent, does it take about 24 hours or 72 hours for God to forgive us? No, immediately. So I went through a thing a couple of years ago. That's quite a few years ago now. I'm starting to even track the time. It was probably about 20 years ago, where God said, "Repent now. You screwed up, but don't wait for tomorrow so you can kind of carry that burden of sin and kind of get through it on my own." But He said, "Repent immediately." I said, "Wow!" So I started practicing that, and I saw quite a change in my own heart. I also saw a change in my mind, where I didn't feel so fatigued and worn out. So God is amazing that He gives us these tools. He loves us so much. He waits there for us to repent and turn back to Him, even when we screwed up. Even when we screwed up. So He doesn't quit on us. He is always there. His word is true. Put on the armor of God. So stand, therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. We got great news. We got good news. That's a little intimidating having to share with people, right? Because we're trying to think of things we need to say or ways we can battle arguments and all those kind of things. But is that really what turns people around? Now, as a hobby, I used to love to debate anything, everything, just for fun. I was obnoxious. This is a good word to play. But I love that arena. So years ago, when I worked for a national semiconductor, and this is, gosh, well over 30 years ago, 40 years ago. See, I'm losing track. And I argued with this guy at work for 3 weeks straight. So we decided to go into this debate and all that stuff, and we're talking about evidence, you know, scripture, historical evidence, and all this stuff. At the end of the 3 weeks, he goes, "Ah, you won." And I went, "What?" Remember when I was upset that we had an argument? But then after that, it's like, "Oh, wait a minute. He didn't come to Christ." So I always thought you could reason your way, you know, and have impacts on people's life. And it wasn't any of that. It was all about my relationship. At the time, I was a little more legalistic in my relationship with God rather than relational. Joy was something I was still trying to figure out. I didn't know what that really meant. It's taken a lifetime to learn those things, right? But dependence on God. In other words, it's a partnership. The people I go to church with, the people I meet in the world that don't know Christ, when they start seeing me being relational with them, it changes the whole focus a lot. I've had people come to me, even in Cal Fire, that said, well, that thing you shared with me last year just changed my life. I can't even remember the thing I shared. What they were really saying was, the Spirit of God was moving on you and it touched my soul. They just didn't realize that part of it. And so it gave us an opportunity to talk later. So you're not going as a friend. It's not just Fred, right? It's God. And this body of Christ, we pull together and we can trust God. His word has power. But we're just not used to that because the world tries to tell us something totally different. You're not good enough. God's barely letting you in with him. No, it's not. He's absolutely in love with you. And his face is in your face, just waiting for your moment. It blows my mind with the number of people on this planet that God has that relationship with us. That is amazing to me. All right, Ephesians 6:16. Pray at all times. Well, in every situation, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all flaming arrows with the evil. My goodness, sorry. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. So when Jesus was tempted by Satan, and you think about some of the exchanges that went on, did Jesus go on and pontificate every time Satan challenged him on something? He usually said a portion of God's word. A portion of God's word was strong enough to repel Satan's determination on him. It held no power. So I think if we can do that transition in our minds, that when God's word comes out in front, it has power beyond our understanding. And that's a good thing to trust in all that process. Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercessions for all the saints. Good word, isn't it? So when you don't know what to do, turn to that verse right there, right? It gives us some direction. Stay alert with all perseverance. What do you think that means? Pay attention, right? I don't know about you, but have you ever gotten so involved in something you're doing you don't really know what's going on around you? I think that's part of it. If we're just focused on things going around in Fred's life, then I won't have time to think about what Paul might be going through, or some burden that might be on his heart, or something that's going on with Elizabeth. You know, and so being alert and paying attention, sometimes people will have an expression in their face, but they'll say something completely different with their words, kind of like a mask, right? And we want to be able to pay attention to that. So you're telling me you're doing fine, but you don't look And there's just something I can do to pray for. Having those kind of revelations, being alert, paying attention. All right, Ephesians 6:20. Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth and make known the boldness of the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. Now, who's saying this? Paul? He's a pretty bold character. Why would he be asking for this prayer? I think it's like any of us. We can get caught off track. We can feel like we're not doing enough. But asking someone else to pray for his boldness, I think that's great. When's the last time maybe one of us asked a friend to pray for us so that we might be bold for Christ? Just keep that in the back of your mind. And it might be worth asking someone this week if that's something that can happen. And God set this place up a long time ago, back in Ephesians and Isaiah 59:17. He put on righteousness as body armor, and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vigilance for clothing, and he wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloth or cloak. So this is stuff that is spoken in the Old Testament, and it sets a pattern for what we're to do here. So anytime anybody went to battle, they had to put on this armor, right? And as you recall back when David put it on to fight Goliath, it was too much for him, right? So he ended up putting on God's armor. He had a lot of faith that God would take care of this, and God did take care of it. So he took all that man's armor off, clothed himself in God's armor, and made an impact, right? 9 foot dude that everybody was scared of, including the king of Israel, this little shepherd boy, goes and takes him out, takes out the big man. And then goes, cuts his head off. All right. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but since we belong to that day, let us be self-controlled and put on the armor of faith and love and a helmet of hope of salvation. There's that love word again, right? English language doesn't do us a favor in it. That love is basically talking about a commitment, right? It's like the words that we hear in this world, well, I'm not in love with you anymore. To me, the word love means commitment. It's not something we feel or do. Now, the feelings we get from a commitment of love and being dedicated to one another is powerful. The reason I like that word, because if something happened between Brian and I, we had a big conflict, and it can happen, right? And then if we didn't have a commitment to love each other, it would just flitter away and off we go to two different worlds. But if we have a commitment, we're going to come back and work through those things and have that joy return to us, right? So that word love is very powerful. So the helmet of hope. Helmet of hope. And I think that's what drives us, especially in the area of salvation. So God, that created this world, cares enough about Susan that he has a relationship with Susan and loves Susan and is willing to share his spirit as he guides her down this path, whatever it might be for any of us, right? For Paul. Whatever that path might be, God has hope. And that salvation that you have with him is amazing. And God doesn't let his own go. He holds on to it. Okay, Romans 13:11-12. Besides this, since you know the time, it's already the hour for you to wake up from the sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, and the day is near. So let us discard the deeds of the darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk with decency, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual impurity and promiscuity, not in quarreling and jealousy, but on the Lord Jesus Christ makes no provision for the flesh to gratify these desires. So, the way sometimes, I heard Pastor Mike say something the other day, almost a couple months ago, but he talked about sin. You know, sometimes we think God's saying don't do these things because he's a killjoy. He really isn't. He's just saying he wants you to have joy. You know, he created our hearts and our desires for doing neat things and fun stuff, our sexual desires. It's all in his design. But he knows that if we go down a certain path, it's going to draw us and wear us out and make us weak and drain us and all those things. So he really is trying to protect us, not be the killjoy. And I think it's important that we know that. And this is why he gives us these words. Okay, 13 through 17. Now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in a word so that they may have my joy completed in them. And have given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So God's bringing us something new, and that is that joy. That joy that is way better. How many of you have gone through a hard thing, and yet, because of your relationship with God, felt that joy deep down inside, even though we're going through a difficult time? I think some of you have, yeah. And I think that's the thing that's really different than this world. The world says, be happy. It's impossible, right, to be happy all the time. But we can have the joy of the Lord through good and hard times. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing that God provides to us. All right. I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. So don't get any ideas. Don't take anybody out of this world. But that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth and by the word. And your word is truth. So the truth. Remember when Jesus was going through the crucifixion process and all that, and they're setting him up for hanging him up and all that, and Caesar said something to Jesus, what is truth? Right? And God is truth. God is hope. God brings joy. Changes our world all around us. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Anything in this world can cleanse us from all sin? Only Jesus. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, I'm sure most of you are more mature than I am, but it has taken me a lifetime at 66 years old now of still learning to let things go in my life that I had perceived that I was doing right. But I was basically just being a little obnoxious, thinking I had it under control when I didn't. And it seems the older I get, the more I look back and realize, God sure loved me. I don't know if I would have put up with me. I mean, it's a miracle that Kelly's putting up with me. and I thank God for that. All right. All right. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. That's a promise. It's not just something that swings through and we're hoping for, but God promises that life. For the word of God is living and effective, and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's amazing. What a tool that we have when we go out into this world, or with each other, or in our family. That's a promise. And God is with us in that process. And his spirit is able to do all the other stuff. I don't have to convince anybody of anything. I thought I was pretty clever way back in the day. I thought I wasn't. Right? It doesn't change life. But the Holy Spirit that is dwelling in us and the power of Jesus and the kingdom that God set up has the power to change all these things. With that, I just love that. So with that, I say, go and do God, right? Go share God. One of my prayers, and I've shared this before, is, Lord, teach me to be Jesus to God. And it's a process. Still learning. Go do with him. But the only way we can do for Jesus is to be with Jesus. So in that, I bless our church. Go be with Jesus. And then do what he wants you to do. Don't do church. Church is exhausting. And it doesn't necessarily involve God. That's just us keeping busy. So, spend time with Jesus. Go be with Jesus. Let me close this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love. We ask that you continue to be with Vic, Lord. Heal his cough, because I do look forward to his message down the road. We will be back for that. Father, be with our body. We need each other, Father. We need to sacrifice ourselves sometimes and not think about ourselves so much, but to think about you. There's times I don't even feel like doing anything, and yet you move upon my heart, and I say, okay. Sometimes I even argue with you. But Father, the bottom line for us is to do and obey what you want us to do. Not to stay busy doing church stuff, but Lord, building relationships, instilling and sharing joy that you share with us. Father, we want that. You tell us to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the other is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Father, teach us to love ourselves the way you have in mind. Let us be obedient to that. Let us be available. Let us be your simple servants. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.